I'd like to take a moment and introduce President Brown to you. He currently serves as president of the Draper Utah Temple. He graduated with degrees from BYU and the University of Utah and later served on the advisory boards of the Graduate Schools of Social Work at both schools. President Brown has served as the Commissioner of LDS Family Services and as the Managing Director of the Welfare Department of the Church. President Brown has served in numerous church callings, including as a missionary to the American Indians. He served as bishop, as stake president, Area 70, and as president of the Provo, Utah Mission. President Brown and his wife, Penny, are the parents of 10 children, and currently they have 34 grandchildren.
Thank you for that beautiful music, and in addition to the prayer and the scripture, appreciate that so much. I am truly honored to have the opportunity to be here today. I know that you often hear church leaders tell how wonderful you are. I can assure you that I echo those sentiments. You're the future. And what confidence I have in the future because of young people like you. In our assignment as president and matron of the Draper Utah Temple, we witness many young men and women coming to the temple to receive their endowments. It's an exceptional experience to see so many young people going forward around the world to serve as missionaries. We recently realized that the change in church policy to authorize young women to serve when they turn 19 years of age, while a wonderful blessing, has caused some collateral damage for a few young men. Recently, our grandson returned from a mission in Korea. We asked him how his schooling was going at BYU and Provo. He said it's just fine. When we asked him about his social life, he said, well, it isn't very good. He said, I find a cute girl and ask her for a date, and she said, yes. But then quickly adds, let's go out and have some fun. But we can't get serious. I'm going on a mission. Perhaps some of you can relate to his dilemma. Last fall, my wife and I set out on a drive to see the beauties of some remote wilderness area high in the Wasatch Mountains east of Salt Lake. We were attempting to follow a road that not very many people travel. We had been on it a number of years before, and we remembered the beautiful scenery, the trees, the mountains, the wildlife, and we hoped to have such an experience again. But because the road is seldom used, there are no signs directing you where to go and how far it is to the next turn, or even if there is a next turn. Somewhere along the way, we found ourselves on a very rough road, steep in places with large rocks and a very rough terrain. We were grateful that we were in a vehicle that was built for such country. Now, as my wife would say, technically we were lost, as she would say, but I knew where we were going, and I knew we were going in the right direction, and that eventually we would come out where we originally planned to go. We just didn't know when we'd get there or how long it would take. And after a significant delay, we found the road that was our original destination. Even with this delay and a rougher road than we expected, we accomplished what we set out to do. We experienced the beauties of nature, the gorgeous trees, the clear blue skies, and fascinating wildlife. We achieved our goal, but the road we traveled was longer, rougher, and had some delays and surprises that we had not anticipated. Well, brothers and sisters, so is the road of life. As we launch forward into our adult lives, we have dreams and hopes of a happy, joyful, and a rewarding life. We hope to find success in our employment, our family, and community. And we hope that when we are older, we'll have lived so that our family, our friends, and particularly ourselves are pleased about the road we traveled. I'm confident that when you establish honorable and worthwhile goals and move forward with faith and determination, you'll have a very good chance of achieving those goals. Most of the time, however, you will find the road to success and happiness strewn with a few more rocks and bumps and twists and turns, and once in a while, some unanticipated delays. On occasion, life's journey may take you to places wholly unanticipated and difficult. Sometimes we suffer the unfortunate and unfair consequences of others who are unkind, unthinking, or even devious. Now, don't be discouraged, because while you are on the road striving to achieve the desires of your heart, if you will allow yourself to do so, you will also enjoy the trees, the beautiful flowers, the blue sky, and the breathtaking scenery. And most importantly, if you have faith in God and look for His hand in your life, you may find that the road you eventually traveled was more productive, useful, and rewarding than the one you had originally planned. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "We cannot clearly see God's plan for us, but if we could, it would be marvelous to behold. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house, and at first, perhaps, you can understand what He's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, He starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is He up to? The explanation is that He is building quite a different house from the one you thought of, throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, and running up towers and making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage, but He is building a palace. The Lord said that all things shall work together for good to them that walk uprightly. I discovered that scripture years ago, and I've used it numerous times, especially when I find myself in unplanned, unexpected, rocky terrain. I've come to understand the power in that prophetic statement that all things, not just the easy things or the pleasant things, but all things work together for good to those who walk uprightly. I believe the Lord is telling us that even our challenges, trials, heartaches, and troubles will end up benefiting us as we walk uprightly and stay close to the Lord. Over many years of putting these truths to the test, I have gained a firm testimony that even when we experience difficult challenges, as we continue having faith in God, we will benefit more from our challenges than we would have without them. The Lord is kind and generous. Now, not that we should look for problems in life. I can assure you they'll find us without too much effort on our part. Years ago, one of our daughters, when she was 7 years old, was playing with her twin brother in an empty field. As they enjoyed their innocent childhood games, they found an unopened bottle of beer laying in the hot sun. As children will do, they threw rocks at it, hoping to see it shatter. After a number of failed attempts to hit it, our daughter found a steel bolt and innocently knelt by the bottle and struck it with a decisive blow. Indeed, the bottle broke, but the hot sun had transformed it into a small explosive device, and as it shattered, the glass flew outward and upward, striking her in the face and most seriously lacerating her eye. The flying glass also opened a large wound on her lower eyelid and down her beautiful little face. Her brother helped her back to our home, and her mother rushed her to the emergency room. The doctors gave some hope that her eye could be saved and that the wound on her face would heal with minimal scarring. However, we were disappointed to learn that rather than healing as we had hoped, her injuries developed excessive scar tissue that eventually destroyed her eye and developed a significant scar under her eye and down her face. Over the next 10 years, she underwent a number of surgeries to recover as much as possible. As parents, we provided love, faith, prayers, and support the best we could. One of the greatest challenges we faced as parents was to see her go into the bathroom before going to school in the morning, lock the door, and at least in our minds, imagine her staring at herself in the mirror, wondering how she could ever get through the day. She grew out her hair and had very long bangs to try to cover that one side of her face. And she wore glasses not only to protect her eye, but to also try to mask the scar on her face. The good news is that over time, a talented physician performed a miracle, in our minds at least, and helped her recover in a remarkable way. If you saw her today, you would find it difficult to detect any trace of what I have described. As parents, it was difficult to see any particular good that would or could ever come from what we considered a tragedy that befell an innocent 7-year-old girl. Today, this young woman is the mother of 4 beautiful children, full of faith, devotion to God, and a wonderful, caring, kind, and generous person. It wasn't until last Christmas that we sensed in our daughter's life the fulfillment of that scripture: all things shall work together for good to those who walk uprightly. At our annual adult Christmas party, each of our children and their spouses were asked to consider a challenge which they had in life, which seemed difficult at the time, but that has been a blessing as the years have passed by. When it was this particular daughter's turn to share, she certainly remembered the accident as a very challenging time. She recalled the worries and concerns about going to school and facing her friends and her teachers and the other students. She recalled that often she did go into the bathroom before school and looked into the mirror. But she related something even more important. She said that in the morning, she also went into her bedroom and knelt down in prayer and asked Heavenly Father, even pled with him to help her face other students, and more importantly, to endure her own feelings of hurt and embarrassment. She simply said about that experience, "God answered my prayers. I did make it." It was difficult for her. She said that it was only with God's help that she could face each day. He blessed her with loyal friends and a twin brother that always had her back, and a future husband that could totally look past her perceived defects and totally love the lovely woman that she was and is. She ended her story that Christmas evening by quoting part of the poem Invictus that ends with, "I am the master of my fate and the captain of my soul." It was a very moving experience to hear her tell of how this seeming tragedy had somehow also been a remarkable blessing to her. This experience that seemed so unfair and painful at the time became a foundation of her faith that God would help her with other challenges throughout her life. Her example also blesses her family and those who know her well. Perhaps the greatest blessing coming from this experience is that her 4 beautiful children see their mother as a pillar of faith, strength, and determination. Her example and teachings will help them prepare for life and live more productive, rich, and rewarding lives. The Savior's our great example. His life and suffering and death all seem so tragic. Yet his sacrifice enables us to repent, to find strength, to experience his grace, and to gain eternal life. He showed us the way and blessed us in immeasurable and unspeakable ways. Is there an opportunity, even a responsibility, for us to follow the Savior's example and strive to bless others when we have challenges and adversities? As we face life's challenges with faith, hope, and optimism, and refuse to fall subject to unwarranted feelings of anger, sadness, and bitterness, our lives will be happier and others will be blessed and encouraged as they see how we handle our challenges. Being optimistic and having a positive attitude will make our burdens lighter and help us find happiness and hope. Even in the most dire circumstances, there can be found a glimmer of hope. As children, our main interest is ourselves and meeting our own needs. As we grow older, we learn to discipline ourselves and begin to learn that other people's lives and happiness are also important, and that we can influence them for good and bless them by our acts of unselfishness and kindness. We often see in the news someone who is involved in a heroic feat or a rescue effort, and these are wonderful and commendable events. However, there are greater opportunities for sacrifice and caring for others that present themselves in less dramatic ways every day. We do not need major events to follow the principle of blessing the lives of others. For example, have you had or do you have a roommate that may not be the easiest for you to relate to? There are a number of ways to react, of course, to such a situation. You can ignore the person and avoid the little quarrels that might occur. Doing so might be the easier road. However, you might also see this as an opportunity to be unselfish and give of yourself, even if you don't feel like it. Certainly, you can praise them for something, even if you do not feel they deserve it. You can be a blessing to them. When was the last time you called or wrote to your parents or a brother or sister and told them how much you appreciate and love them? You will soon learn, as you have your own family, how much parents desire to feel that you understand them and appreciate what they have done for you. Some parents suffer too much from not feeling love and gratitude from the very children they have worked so hard to love and to sacrifice for. What about telling someone that you enjoyed their talk in church or the musical number they provided? Perhaps the effort to write them a brief personal note would be more appreciated than you can imagine. Some years ago, I, along with religious leaders of other faiths, made a presentation in a governor's conference in Arizona about the sensitive subject of child abuse. I represented the church in explaining our position and what we were doing to respond to this challenging issue. I thoroughly prepared for this presentation. Afterwards, a woman came up to me and handed me a small business card with a note written on it. And it said, "Thank you for your presentation. It was very good." She was LDS and wanted me to know that she felt the church was represented well that evening. I never learned her name, but I kept the card for many years. It helped me feel good that someone recognized my efforts. When we reach out to others, we not only bless them, but we gain greater faith in God and develop our own character. Our adversities are often our best teachers. Most of us hope and pray for the same eternal destination. Getting there, however, requires gaining the virtues spoken of in the scriptures, which are faith, patience, love, long-suffering, and other admirable traits. However, as each person strives to attain these similar characteristics, the experience he or she may have to achieve them may take them down two very different roads. As an example, I know two faithful sisters who have lived admirable lives and learned about faith and patience in two very different ways. One of the sisters said that she learned faith and patience by having a large family. She said that she went to sacrament meeting for years and hardly remembers a time when the meeting was truly a spiritual experience. Her time and attention and energy were spent mostly in controlling the chaos of keeping some sort of control during the meeting. I was told by a good source that she was overheard saying to her children, "If you're going to quarrel, get under the bench where no one can see you." This large family tested her faith to the limit, but she did develop faith and patience. Her sister gained the same faith and patience in a different way. She could not have children of her own. It was a painful, lonely journey, but through the process of adoption, she found great happiness in the two children that came into her home. Both of these sisters had very different circumstances. Both gained faith and patience from their experiences. It is important that we maintain our faith in God when we face difficult challenges. He will bless us immensely if we walk uprightly and turn to Him, even when we do not see the good that may come from a painful or troubling problem. The 11th and 12th chapters of Hebrews teach us great lessons about having faith in God. The first verses tell us how God's leaders were blessed when God granted them that which they asked for. One of the great lessons of faith is told about Sarah and Abraham, who had been promised to have posterity as great as the sands of the sea and the stars in the heavens. Yet Abraham and Sarah became very old, and they still did not have a son through which these magnificent blessings could be fulfilled. But even as an older woman, Sarah never lost hope. The scriptures tell us that through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah never stopped believing that she would bear a son so that the promised blessings would be fulfilled. The same faith is also attributed to Abraham, who the scriptures explain in a somewhat humorous terms by saying, "Therefore sprang there even of one, Abraham, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Many examples of how God blessed those with faith are related in these marvelous chapters. However, the ending verses are sobering as they teach us good but challenging doctrine. Beginning in verse 35 of chapter 11, we learn that not everyone receives from God through faith what they desire and ask for. We are taught that, quote, "Others were tortured. Some had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, were sawn asunder, and many other similar painful and unfortunate difficulties. Yet we learn that those who suffered also had firm testimonies of God and His goodness." The chapter ends with what is to me the most important and insightful verse of Scripture about adversity and suffering. The Joseph Smith translation says this: "God, having provided some better things for them through their sufferings, for without sufferings, they could not be made perfect." So, brothers and sisters, we must have faith in God when we receive answers to our prayers. And we must have faith in God when we do not receive just what we ask for. In either situation, we must remember that all things work together for good to them who walk uprightly. The goal can never be to avoid every adversity. Things just don't happen that way. Our goal must be to find the good that can result from our challenges. God, in His great wisdom and love, will do what is best for us and those around us if we will but turn to Him and have faith in Him. It will often require enduring experiences that are not pleasant or easy, but enduring them with faith, will eventually result in greater blessings for us, and certainly a blessing to those who watch how we handle these difficult challenges. It is difficult to turn to God when we make mistakes. One of the most touching and valuable lessons regarding turning to God after making poor decisions came from a young woman who became pregnant out of wedlock at a very young age. I worked in adoptions and LDS family services for years and could relate other such experiences. I served as this girl's priesthood leader. At such a tender age, she was required to make the difficult decision of what to do with and for her unborn child. After much thought and prayer and counseling with others, she came to the conclusion that she would do what she believed was in the best interest of her child. She placed it with a young couple that could not have children of their own. After struggling with this wrenching decision, she went through the challenging experience of repentance. Perhaps her greatest challenge was to forgive herself. One of the last times I spoke with her as a church leader, I asked her, "How do you feel about the Savior?" I'll never forget what she said. "I love the Savior very much. I know He lives and He loves me and that He has forgiven me of my mistakes and sins." Words cannot express what she said, how she said it, and how I felt that day. But I remember thinking that such a young girl would not generally have such an abiding testimony of the Savior. This kind of a testimony was more often found in older, more experienced members of the church. It was another reminder that God is most generous and He will bless us without measure as we turn our lives and hearts to Him. Even when we make serious mistakes and have difficult problems, He's saying to us, "I'm sorry that you made a wrong choice or that you had to suffer such difficulty. But if you'll turn your heart to me, I will make the blessing that comes out of it even greater than the disappointment and challenges that you faced going through it." Truly, we can have confidence that all things work together to them that walk uprightly. The trip I took with my wife that resulted in a bumpy and somewhat lost condition, it was a little annoying, but it was also enjoyable. So it is with much of our lives, a journey of ups and downs, but a journey that we can handle. It is true that once in a while we may experience some unforeseen difficult challenge that will disrupt our lives that may take years to understand and endure. But even these challenges, if they're endured well, will allow us to look back and realize that we were blessed along the way and that we can do hard things, that we made it, even though we thought we might just give up. We find out for ourselves that we're not quitters, and that is the part, brothers and sisters. We find out for ourselves who we are, and that is why we are here. Joseph Smith summarized this succinctly when he told his mother just after the first vision, as he was still dazed and amazed. "I'm all right, Mother. I'm well enough off. I just learned for myself that none of the churches are true." And this is our privilege and blessing, to not only live on this earth, but to learn for ourselves, to find out who we really are by the things we experience, the things we suffer, and how we handle them all. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.